Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
In the spirit of reconciliation, the Swapcast acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respect to the elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today.
We're talking again
about body swapping.
Welcome to the Swapcast podcast, the world's only podcast dedicated to body swap movies. I'm your host, Paul Mitty. And with me we have
Lucy Thomas
and
Brendan Levi.
In today's episode, we'll be breaking down the 2018 faith-based comedy, The Big Fix, where God forces a family of four to switch bodies with each other to prevent the parents from divorcing. But before we get into that, just a reminder that we absolutely love hearing from our listeners and we welcome film suggestions for future episodes. So please reach out to us on Twitter or Instagram, send us an email at theswapcastpodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to support our show, reviewing us is the best way possible. So to say thank you, if we reach 100 star ratings on iTunes and Spotify, we will finally fulfill our fans' most common request to review
Face Off.
Now, last week, I mentioned that there's some fuckery going on at our iTunes, that they're not registering our star ratings.
And they heard. And they were, oh, shit, they're onto us.
And then they all got put on there.
No, the opposite. Like, we got four new written reviews this week and, like, it didn't up our count. iTunes is fucking with us.
So do we already have 100?
I don't know. I don't know if we have 100. I don't know. It's all topsy-turvy. Maybe all our listeners aren't pieces of shit on the ground.
I blame DPWs. Elon Musk for some reason.
Yeah, it tracks. So, I don't know. I still implore everyone to review us on iTunes and Spotify.
But maybe they're not as bad as Paul makes out.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you do the written reviews, like, we really do see it. But the star ratings seem to get lost in the shuffle. So maybe if you love us,
need to write some reviews.
Yeah. I think you should all just do some written reviews. But anyway.
And thank you to all the ones we've received recently.
Yeah, that's like, really nice.
Yeah.
We've gotten some really good ones.
Much better podcast listeners than me. I don't do any of the call responses to all the podcasts I listen to.
You know, ever since doing like our podcast and begging people, now I do review podcasts when I new ones when I really like them. I do
pay it forward.
Exactly, pay it forward. I was like, give to receive. That doesn't sound good.
You're a regular Helen Hunt, mm-hmm. or
that fat little cherub.
What? Fat little cherub. What are you talking about?
Now that he's adult, he looks like a little cherub.
Haley Joel Osment.
Is that what that kid's name is?
Yeah.
He does. He's cherubic, isn't he?
But do you know who else is in that film, guys? Kevin Spacey.
Moving right along.
All right. So, on to this week's film, The Big Fix. So, the movies we normally cover on the show have simple goals. To entertain us, make us laugh, make us cry. This film, however, has loftier goals. The Big Fix wants you to discover the healing power of Jesus' love, to look at your dirty, sinful ways and see the power of Christianity. Did The Big Fix achieve that goal with you both?
Can you even imagine if either of us said yes?
Wouldn't that be amazing if we were converted?
Well, guys, I have a surprise for you.
I know you're still a dirty, sinful man. I can see that mustache.
See, we're going to post a picture of that to people.
So, yeah, do you think this film has any chance of changing people's minds or, you know, even like taking away some of the Christian morals out of this film?
Drive people to throw their televisions in the garbage.
Yeah. Also, you know, the way they're claiming that Mama Boy wasn't like religious affiliated, I feel like they tried harder to sort of force its values on the watcher than this did.
Well, yeah, the moral, like, what was the driving point of this film? I have no idea. I just felt like they just waffled around and they're like, got the pastor and he's like, oh, he'll tie it up for us, you know, don't worry.
Yeah, well, yeah, because the pastor's like, well, you know, the Bible doesn't have a body swap, but you know what it does have is love. So you guys should just love each other.
Yeah.
And I guess that's what we should take away.
You know, the way in just like a normal church service they were doing Corinthians, love is patient, love is kind. That is...
Yeah. Yeah, that one you whip out at weddings only.
Yeah. Cool Christian kids are like, we're going to have cool shit from the Bible at a wedding.
Yeah.
Brendan?
Oh, what Bible verse did we have?
Was it at your wedding?
Sorry? Corinthians? No.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, he chose one of the verses about...
The one where the bear comes out and mauls people, mauls a bunch of teens for paying out bald people.
Is that real?
Yeah, that's real.
What?
I think it's in Solomon.
Paul's like, I'm screwed.
No, it's like one pole should pull out whenever someone pays them out for being bald.
Yeah.
Like, God literally sent a bear to maul teenage boys for paying out a bald man. Like,
where's the film adaptation of this? That would have made a good movie. Not this shit. This film was like so I'm guessing we're all in agreement that this film was a pile of fucking dog shit, right?
It was very bad. Yeah, I wrote like, I hate this, I'm dying, I feel pain, like, this is killing me just constantly. It was a real slog.
I had to enjoy hate watching it.
I actually did. Like, it was so shit that I didn't hate my time watching it.
No,
just because
Mama Boy was so shit that it was good. You could view. This was like,
yeah, like
dead air.
Obviously, Mama Boy had like just, you know, moment after moment. This one, like, there was just every now and then, like the opening scene where we're supposed to be seeing this gourmet, like, Michelin star chef making a meal for his wife, and we see him fucking drizzling sriracha sauce.
and that dish actually looked like a pile of crap.
She didn't eat it either.
Yeah, he brought it to her, she looked at it, and he took it away.
He said, what is this muck?
Okay, this, like, I don't want to incriminate myself. This is going to sound very dodgy, all right? But there's a...
I love it already.
There's a subgenre of porn where...
you're
done.
Where it's a straight people. This is a straight people thing, right? But there's like this subgenre of porn where like it'll be a family of, it's usually a family of four, mum, husband, wife, but it's like stepmom and stepdad, I guess,
of course,
and
it is.
Two kids. And then they decide to all swap partners and have sex with each other. And the level of production the acting
is better.
And the looks of the characters, I just felt like I was on edge that this film was constantly going to become that, like, the whole time. Especially, like, there'll be scenes where they all, like, go into the same bedroom and sit on the bed together, and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, you have incriminated yourself. It's like the episode of Friends where Joey and Chandler get free porn, like, on their cable. And they're too scared to turn it off because they think it's going to go away. And then they start seeing the scenarios everywhere they go. It's a lot like that. I feel like you've been watching so much of it that it's infiltrating other areas of your life.
Possibly. But also, like, you have to admit the production value and acting level of this were very porn-like.
Yeah, like you said, it's better in porn. probably.
And I do have an explanation for this. This is something I'd normally bring up in the opinion swap section of our show. But I did find this when I was looking through the IMDb reviews. This person says, "The cast and crew volunteered to make this movie because we all have a love for Christ and a passion for others. No one involved in this movie was paid."
Okay. I mean, then I feel like there's just no fun in ragging on how kind of poor it was. Like, I mean, it's just facts are facts. But my thought was that it was one congregation who, like, crowdfunded a movie and were like, let's make this movie together. That's what it felt like to me.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that's what I was thinking. It was like, this church was like, we have a script and we know.
Yeah.
We have a pledge, everybody. Yeah. And because the every crowd scene,
everyone was ugly.
It's a bunch of
it's true.
He's saying hot people can't be a part of
church. No, but if you're casting for a film, you usually try to find people that aren't like...
Surely there's porn about virgin, gay, closeted Christians.
Yeah, well, there is. But anyway, like... but, like, yeah, every crowd scene... Like, you know when you see people in a film and you know the difference between a real person and a person that was cast.
But how much?
Yeah. I know. I saw it.
Who played the bully?
Yeah.
She's like, "Ooh, baby, this is my ticket out of here. I'm the hottest one out of all of them."
I'm the hottest kid in youth group.
And
some director's going to see this and I am going straight to the moon.
Well, the company that makes these films has cast her in a bunch of them.
Yeah, I bet.
So she keeps rocking up. I was just watching a film they made about it's called Fat Chance, about an overweight woman that pretends to be skinny on an online dating app to get a boyfriend.
Inspired by a true story as well.
And she's in that one as well, so... The inspirational hits that this fucking terrible company has made.
All right, so do you need to do the plot?
Sure.
Ready?
Yeah.
Set, go.
So there's a family of four. The mum and the dad run a restaurant together, and then the kids are in school. And
it's like the easiest bit.
You're already halfway. You were starting.
Do I get a do-over?
That's 25 seconds. I don't think you're going to make it.
Go on, yeah. Give the audience a rundown.
This is very rare. It's like when someone in the Olympics or whatever starts running too early and they get one more shot.
The mulligan. Yeah, the Olympics
this
mulligan.
This is because the compassion that Christ has given you from watching this film.
Yes,
you're
exactly
allowing
that.
Me a second chance. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Ready, set. Think about what you said last time and just say it straight away, okay?
Okay.
Ready, set, go.
It's a family of four. The mum and the dad run a restaurant together.
I knew this was
going to
be.
Why are we going to get stuck on that?
The option's 3 a.m. This is too much for me. it's not even funny.
And that's the plot, folks.
Do we give up?
I think we give up.
Do you want me to do it this week?
Brendan, you try.
Okay,
right.
Ready?
First time ever, Brendan will be doing the 30-second plot summary.
Ready, set, go.
Go.
So the family run a restaurant.
You must be kidding.
The father clearly wants to fuck Chelsea, and then they all swap buddies, and then they fight a bunch, and then they get through a dinner, and they almost kill the bear. And, so, And somehow they always got back and then God loves them.
Okay, nobody wants to hear us just having a giggle. Fuck, that was funny though. That was pretty good for them.
I forgot they almost thanks.
Oh, shit.
So yeah, there's a whole subplot in this film where there's a like slutty maitre d' at the restaurant that the mum and dad own, and she's trying to fuck the dad, and then when the kids take over their bodies, they fire her, and then she puts oregano into the mayor's dinner,
who's deadly allergic
to oregano.
To oregano, yeah.
I love the way he got through the whole meal and they're like, this was so lovely, and then he starts coughing, and then his wife like touches the plate and puts it to her lips and was like, you knew he was allergic. It's like, you guys, I just watched you eat dessert. Like, what is this? Where's this oregano come from? It's very, very frustrating.
And that, all four of them, like, all four of them freeze. Like, nobody, like, the son whips out his camera phone and records the
yeah, mad time.
But, yeah. And then he comes back and he's just like, hey, that's cool, dog. Do you want to, like...
Yeah, the next next interaction he has with these people is asking them to cater his, like, business lunches with 100 people every week.
Which is just like, no mayor is doing that. That's not a thing.
And like, who is that understanding? Like, if I went to a restaurant and almost died from someone trying to poison me, and they're like, so sorry, this person that we have, like, having a feud with, they tried to poison you to get at us. I still wouldn't eat at that restaurant. Exactly. I'd be like, oh, no worries. Never going back. And I've eaten at, like, an Indian restaurant that's, like, made me, like, have food poisoning 3 times because it was that good.
So maybe you would go back to the poison restaurant.
Well, what I'm saying is I don't think they intentionally gave me food poisoning, but they did.
there's a feeling I had in this film of complete and utter dread. And that is when you're watching a Christian film and a obviously gay character shows up and you're like, what is going to happen?
Yeah.
And what happens, I guess, is everybody openly mocks that character for the entire film.
Yeah.
And
like, I understand everyone has to get work, but
no, but like, that was, you know, not a gay.
I feel like after Mythbusters, he could have found something better.
Well, I was going to say, like, that was not a gay. I don't think that was a gay person playing that role. I'm pretty sure that would have been a straight actor playing gay.
Yeah, it was way over the top, flamboyant,
and
silly.
And then they make the implication that he is pro incest. Just to be like, he equates being gay essentially with incest. Yeah, because he's like,
does he?
Love who you love. Love is love. You can love your brother. Like,
I thought he was cool with it because he was in a relationship with his second cousin.
Yeah, well, the implication was like, he was with his wife who was a beard, who also happened to be his cousin. Then he divorced her so that he can be gay.
And as the villain of the story, he had to be pro-incest as well.
That was like, is fucked.
Yeah.
And like, and then when the mum realizes that her kids are being taught by a gay teacher, she's like, I've got to get these kids out of this school.
But once again, I think that's because he was so avidly pro her, like, having a relationship with her brother.
Who is the writer, director guy that Michelle Gondry works with sometimes? His name is completely escaping me. Charlie Kaufman? So, you know, the way the play within this film was, like, the worst thing. It was like they were watching the movie that we were watching within the play.
Yeah.
Within the movie. Do you know what I mean? It was. And also, it was just looked like the biggest piece of shit, most boring thing ever.
Yeah.
Like, there was no set.
It was one there couch. Was,
and then
it was a couch and then a podium. It's
like the brother and the sister have to end up, like,
in an embrace.
Yeah. But also, you didn't really just give any subtext as to what, like, was going on so that it didn't make it weird. It was just, it was something else.
Yeah, because, like, the whole reason the son wanted to be in the play was because he wanted to get with the bully. Yeah. And he's like, oh, there must be a hot kissing scene in this play. That's what I assumed.
And then the bully gets ousted for his own sister. But in the end, it was the dad in his son's body.
It was the dad and the mother in the daughter's body playing the roles. So it was cool that they, like,
slip into porn,
absolutely like macked.
Paul said, yeah. But he made it it was really it was really strange.
Yeah, it's frustrating too that they didn't show it.
You know what I wrote down? You know what I wrote down? You know the other family swap we did recently, the French one?
Yeah.
That 8-year-old girl did better than every single
everyone
in this. Yeah.
So their portrayal of actually being each other was...
Well, their portrayal of being human beings. Because they all sound like they were robots.
Yeah. And like you said, like, they're obviously not actors. They were just people who thought they should be on screen and were wrong. And like,
but are they not actors? Because they've all got, like, plenty of IMDb credits. Like, they've been in films, multiple films.
So it's Kylie Jenner.
You don't know who that is, do you?
I don't know
who that is. She hasn't been in any movies. What are you talking about?
She was in an episode
of Dave. Trying to be relevant.
She was in the
Pepsi commercial.
The what? No, that's Kendall.
I get him confused.
She was in the WAP video, the Cardi B video.
Back to the play, though. Yeah. Like, the scene where, like, so she, the mum is in the daughter's body and she's become the lead of this play and she's completely unprepared and she walks onto the stage and she's just in complete silence. And then the scene is like shots of her staring into the crowd and then shots of the crowd and it just keeps going back and forth. And the crowd's like muttering to themselves, like, what a piece of shit.
Kids picking their nose.
Yeah. Like, and it just keeps going and going to the point that it felt like a Adult Swim sketch. Like, it felt
Tim and Eric kind of.
Yeah. Like, you could have kept cutting
going
between
for
her
another
and Simon.
12 minutes, it would have been
forever
genius.
Forever more. Yeah.
Well,
I kind of want to do a fan edit of that scene and just make it go forever.
Can we please establish, were the brother and sister twins?
They were in the same year level.
Yeah. I feel like that was never sort of touched on at all.
But I feel like that must be a thing in America, maybe, like that certain classes have, like, no, like, certain ages have, like, I don't know.
I don't think it is, Brendan. Do you answer it from reaching?
More to the point that, like, so the mother was supposed to be, like, taking over the daughter's dream, and so, like, because she cares about her daughter, is doing the play, but, like, completely freezes and then is red lines by her daughter into her ear, but literally reads them like a robot and, like, reads out stage directions and stuff. Like, so it was supposed to, like, and then the play ends and they all, like, sort of celebrate, where it should have been like, oh, I guess we got through that. Like, that was awful.
like that girl,
we did a play. We read the lines on stage.
Yeah, like if that isn't her last year at that school, like she's never getting cast.
She's not
in
leaving that
play.
Dad. Yeah,
yeah.
Like, so she'll forever be that girl. That fucked up the play.
Truly, we could just rag on these elements until the cows come home.
Yeah.
But I guess if you want to talk about, you know, body swapping tropes, definitely the stakes of the parents have this big trial menu tasting thing that the kids have to do, which you know, the way he's like, and I'm supposed to just teach you 20 years of like fine
culinary
cuisine. And yeah. It's like, and then that is apparently what he did what that we do? Didn't see because he fucking cooked Ramil.
Yeah. Like they didn't just bring themselves into the kitchen and cook it. They
Which
had
is
to force
the
kids
not,
to do it.
Why the fuck didn't they just do that? And then the kids had the play. So, you know, very like archetype.
We've seen that before. Yeah. Christmas Trade, a few other things have done the play.
Can you guys tell me, what was the other religious-y one that we did watch that had Denise Richards in it?
Switched.
So Switched. I felt like the Switched set and this set, it was like maybe the same house. It felt very familiar. And a lot of
the
live,
same
laugh,
Bible
love.
City.
A lot of live, laugh, love, empathy.
Live. Yeah.
Bloody.
Live, laugh, love, pray, though. Like,
yeah.
It was like the Jesus version of all those things.
Yeah.
Like, I think this film is very much trying to appeal to a very certain Christian demographic, like the kind of prosperity doctrine, like they all live in beautiful houses and stuff because they love Jesus so much.
And that he'll reward you if you, completely.
I guess the film, in the end, though, they did downsize to another giant house that was slightly
less giant.
And it was like negligible how much smaller it was.
So I thought it was the same house.
It didn't really make any sense. It's like, oh, they've moved. Okay, that's good for you guys. And you know what else we've also seen before? That two people swapped. So the mum had some sort of weird accent. Did anyone pick what it was? I don't know. What?
I think she was like Latinx of some description.
And so when she swaps with her daughter, the daughter, like,
it's completely gone.
It's not transferred yet.
Which is probably for the best.
Very lazy.
Yeah, considering and she still range. Had an accent, even though her daughter who didn't have an accent was in her body, she still had an accent.
Yeah.
But like in terms of a body swap film, like what was the purpose of the body swap? Because the main crux of this film was that the mum and the dad were fighting. So shouldn't it been them that swapped rather than them swapping into the kids? Like, it didn't really make any thematic sense.
No.
And then the kids, they had like problems with, so like the daughter had problems with the with the mother.
Well, everybody hated each other. Really. It seemed
other.
Like the whole family hated
each
other.
If you can't sum it up, like, if you have to think about it, it means it didn't work. You know what I mean? Like, the point didn't
it just,
come across.
Yeah, it just seemed confusing, the motivations for why they chose to put them in the kids' bodies and the kids in the...
Yes.
The parents and the kids. And that also, which parent was in whose body, because the kids, like, hated the opposite parents. So you think they would put them in the body of the parent that they should learn to understand better, you know?
Completely.
Like a swap film.
And the parents, like a body swap. And the parents played it way too young as well. They were playing it like they were swapped into the bodies of nine-year-olds.
Valley Kids from 2000,
Really annoying.
I'm going to say the only actor that I didn't think was absolutely terrible was the son. Mm. Like, he wasn't, like, you know, you couldn't put him in a normal movie. But in terms of these people, he did the least bad.
Like, yeah, he's got a career at Hallmark, sure.
Yeah. Like, yeah, definitely. I could see him in a Hallmark movie, for sure.
Good for him. Booked and blessed.
Now, I don't know if we discussed this in the Switched review, but so the pastor in this film, one of the characters asked the pastor in this film specifically, are there any body swaps in the Bible? And the pastor says no. But I think, I don't know if we discussed this in the Switch review, but did we determine that Jesus was the original body swap?
I feel like we did touch on that.
God is Jesus.
Swaps into Jesus's body.
But he doesn't swap into because he is, but he's also like he's three, but he's, you know,
it's a trifecta.
And one.
It's a triangle of friends.
I feel like more when the Holy Ghost, like, you know, when there's like a slaying of the spirit, that's like a big fat, you know, body swap. Yeah.
Whoa.
I feel like, do we need to get like a theologian or something to like work out how many body swaps occur in the Bible? I really want to see this.
I know I know at least one pastor who listens to the show regularly. So
will he still listen to it after this episode?
I think he'll answer any question we have.
Yeah, well, please, pastor, write into the show. I want to hear the answers. How many Bible body swaps are there?
You know what up this? You know when we go to do like best to worst, you know what ups this a few notches?
What?
That ending.
Where he's trying to break his legs.
Oh, no. When when the gay teacher swaps bodies with the
oh like, my god, yes.
His friend.
Yeah.
Like, it was just out of nowhere and unnecessary. And I'm like, are these two characters big enough for this to be like a reveal? Like, this is so random. Yeah.
Yeah.
And just so like the idea that in this universe, God's all of a sudden snapped and he's just like, so after like 2,000 years of like, you know,
you swap.
Very
you
subtle. Swap. Yeah. He's just like, blah, blah, blah.
I swap thee. Yeah.
Kids are dying and like starvation and shit, but God's going nuts on the swap morality lessons.
So they open the door at the end of the film and find the gay teacher has swapped with one of his students for no fucking reason.
Yeah.
Absolute insanity.
And this is why I hate America.
I thought you were going to say this is why I hate God.
You asked us if it made us
America's God.
If it made us come to Jesus, and quite the opposite.
Like they're the only ones who have like Christians so rich that just like, can we waste money and make shit television so that our kids hate us and resent Christianity?
Alexis,
ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm shocked by this behavior. Young lady, you should know better. We do not judge people based on who they choose to love. Olivia, I'm so proud of you. Standing up for who you love?
Oh, no, this is not what it looks like.
You should be celebrated, not torn down. And Alexis, I will not tolerate this kind of hatred and bigotry in my drama department. You are no longer the lead. Dear, it's okay. My first wife was my seventh cousin.
So you heard what we thought of the movie, but how attractive did we find the cast? Now it's time for Hot or Not, Jesus Edition. Take it away, me. Are they a toot or a boot? Are they ugly or cute? Tell me, are they hot or not? Amen.
Everyone is beautiful in their own way.
Now, are we deciding, first and foremost, does the Christianity give them more of a sex appeal? Like, you know, like...
Like forbidden fruit?
Yeah, yeah. Like, or is it like, oh, geez.
I think that only works with like boys onto girls. I don't think. I'm not like, oh, he's so religious.
Like, there's no such thing. There's no, like, the pastor's son trope or something like that. You know, the...
Depends what porn you're watching.
Men are always gross. All right, got it.
The only time it works is in Fleabag with the hot priest. And we've
hot
already
priest?
Talked
oh, that
about,
is a, yeah.
We've already talked yeah. about Fleabag. It's been someone, I think two people's tenuous. That's the only time.
Like, she did really bring world. That back. I don't think there was really a hot priest vibe going around the zeitgeist until Fleabag, right? Hmm. Like, there was more like a investigation vibe.
So let's start with the hot priest then.
How hot the priest was?
Yeah, Cameron Arnett as Drew, the pastor, who is like a fixture in Christian productions. He was like in the KJ Apa Christian movie that came out a few years ago, I Still Believe. He's been like really? in all the big budget ones, he's in there. So yeah. I think that's why if you look at the poster for this film.
That's why he's so like central to the
He is front and center. He is the star
of this film.
Yeah. So yeah.
And that's why he like dressed so provocatively.
But yeah, he had a charm to him. I would give him a heart. Like he had that daddy energy.
I think he was like the only person who felt human.
Yes.
Like, he was a bit too chill about the body swap, to be honest. He's like, this is pretty crazy. But he's like, you know, his mind was not blown.
No.
Yeah. It's like he's dealt with this before.
So, yeah, I'm going to give him a hot.
I guess. He's not like hot priest, Fleabag hot priest level.
Yeah, he's like. But who is?
He's
khakis and business shirt.
Like a human.
he's got that human quality.
We love human men.
Matt Moore as Michael, the dad.
This one I was really interested in because he was so into himself. Like,
yeah.
Showing off his muscles and...
He was having an emotional affair with Chelsea. He was.
He was, 100%.
Yeah.
And he didn't know. He didn't know he was, but he 100% was.
Yeah.
Like, he hadn't...
Did he not know?
No, like, as in, he wasn't introspective enough to acknowledge that's what he was doing.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
And I just wrote something like, what did I write? I hate this guy. thrilling. No, but just like they paint him at the start. He just is like shit dad, shit husband. Like just so uninterested.
And not even like there was like some rift that had been torn. It was like he was putting like dishes down for his wife to deal
completely.
With.
This is what I'm saying.
And not just like he did
have a point though, because he said, "I've been on my feet all day cooking, and then I cooked for the family as well." Like it's not like he was doing nothing.
But there was definitely a,
and it's not like he was like, "Bitch, wash my dishes."
No, 100% he was when he put those dishes down.
He completely was. Yeah,
he was making a point. He wasn't like just obliviously like, "Oh, I'm just putting my dishes down." He was like. Bam, like,
yeah.
Fucking deal with this.
I hated him.
This family was fucked up.
Yeah.
The one thing I will give him is he did have very luscious hair.
He does have luscious hair, sure.
But I didn't like the top knot, half up, half down. I wasn't here for it. I'm sorry.
No, but only the son did that, right?
Yeah, but no. I don't care. That was,
he had the...
He looked bad.
Because he had the ability to...
Yeah.
He felt like someone trying to hold on to his youth, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna be in solidarity with you guys and give him a knot, all right?
Do the mum now.
Okay, Vanessa Rodriguez as hot stepmum. I mean Karen. She had the most porn star vibe out of all of them.
Really?
It was just like those glasses and the way that they did her makeup, she just looked like
she's gonna rip them off. And
yeah, let's get a porn star and make them try to look like a respectable. Like that sounds awful. Like porn stars can be respectable, but you know what I mean. You know what I mean.
Straighten her up. Yeah. Okay, so I can tell definitely beautiful woman. I can tell, but the character, she was so joyless. And just horrible, mm-hmm. and it was very hard to be on her side.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, void of sexuality. And I just assume that's because it's Christian, but, like, I assume they hadn't had sex for 10 years.
Yeah, agreed. Now, I'm going to give her a nod. Sorry, Vanessa.
Yeah.
All right, let's go into some friend or foes. The son, Hunter, played by Julian Simmons. Friend or foe?
Oh, foe.
Yeah, I'm going foe.
Why though? What did he do that was so bad?
I don't know. He was a real dick movie. To his sister.
Like he wasn't. But he was awful to his sister.
But she was awful to him. I think it was just like a mutually.
Yeah, I'm not gonna I'm not gonna friend her either.
We just hate this whole fucking family.
You can see they're like products of their parents. They really was a lot of they need intensive therapy.
I didn't see any moment, even when they swap back, where I was like, oh, he's like shown that he has considered anyone but himself. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like what was his arc? Like
nope,
that he didn't have sex with Chelsea in his father's body.
Yeah, because a normal movie, that's where it would have gone. That's what the teenage
like. This middle-aged woman is hitting on me. I will accept that.
Yeah,
because it's the only way that any character could have had sex in this film that it wouldn't have been incest. And because it's a Christian film, they had to not do it. So.
And they were like, yeah, they were like, if they were a teenage boy, they'd be like, you just tried to poison the bear. Can we have sex?
All right, so finally, Brooke Mucci as Olivia, the daughter.
Yeah, foe.
Yeah, foe.
Foe.
Yeah, she seemed awful. And the way the movie starts with her calling her brother, brother dear, she's like, brother dear.
Yeah.
And that just sent shivers down my spine. Yeah, same. Fucking gross.
They really did have a step brother and whatever vibe. It really was there right from the beginning. It was like, what is going on here?
Yeah, because
he was in the bathroom as well. It was like, what's
so the film starts with him in the bathroom looking at his muscles, and then the sister wanted to get in there.
They haven't swapped bodies. Like, he's just like,
yeah. So she's trying to get into the bathroom with also, her brother.
Also, it's like, why can't you do that in your fucking bedroom? Like, go and look at your muscles in your bedroom. Surely there's a mirror in there.
But then he times it so that she is leaning on the door when he opens it so that she falls into his arms in the bathroom. Like, you see what I mean? This was a fucking step-sibling porn.
The writer of this is, like, laughing. He did it all intentionally. I'm just like, I made this Christian script. But really, he's like, planting all these seeds.
Either it's like that guy from bags. Nickelodeon.
Probably that.
We're just teenage dirt. All right, actually, let's throw in another hot or not for good measure. Victor Mandrillo as the mayor.
Oh boy. He's very forgiving. He's very forgiving.
He was jovial. He was I wouldn't say hot.
I give him a jovial.
Hunter, let me in.
In a minute!
You've been in there for an hour, brother dear.
Olivia, you know that creeps me out.
Oh, brother dear.
All right, now it's time for Opinion Swap, where we find some entertaining reviews of The Big Fix from across the interwebs. Now, this is a funny one because, like, the Letterboxd reviews were very different from the IMDb reviews.
In what way?
So I would say one was much more forgiving of the film than other. I'll start off with the Letterboxd reviews.
All right.
This one's from Audrey Lorraine, who gives it half a star, and she says, there's some vague homophobia to top off the incest, but what really fascinates me about this is how weirdly written all the lines are. Things will magically fix itself. This thing is sure unusual. These are actual things somehow spoken by the cast. It all feels like an intensely off-kilter memory of an uneventful family comedy. The pacing drags as if the cast and crew were deliberating over every poorly conceived beat amidst clutter that is both thematic and physical. The house in this is plastered with those generic live, pray, love. This household love Jesus here have a Bible verse signs. They're everywhere. It's like the crew rented a house but deemed it necessary to make it apparent in every single artlessly composed frame that this is a Christian production. Yeah, I think that's pretty spot on.
Yeah.
Ray gives it half a star and says, this film contains attempted murder, infidelity, incest, blackmail, and pedophilia. The actual Freaky Friday has a funny bit where Chad Michael Murray sings to Jamie Lee Curtis. I'll let you guess which one of these is more Christian.
That's a great movie.
Asim Pollard gives it half a star and says, the dollar store brand of body switching movies. And Adam Shaheen says, this movie makes absolutely no sense. The brother and sister are fighting with each other and the mum and dad are fighting with each other. But then the son and the dad switch and the mum and the daughter yeah. switch. And then they try to pretend it was an issue between the parents not understanding their kids. But like, there wasn't really what was happening at all.
That's what Brendan said.
But then... we go over to IMDb and we get reviews from like this one from KCN Homework, who gives it 10 out of 10. And it says, it's about time. We never see these kind of Christian what if films, as if God is incapable of doing what if. I'm definitely not an advocate for body swapping and pray that God would never do that to me. But the storyline was enjoyable. I personally love the acting. Do you think this person actually like prays every night that they're not going to get body swapped?
God, please don't. Like, yeah, they legit watch this and went, oh, wait, he does do that, doesn't he?
And then finally, I'm going to give you one bad review from IMDb. And this one is from Lord Sun. He says, this one doesn't deserve any star. These idiots of actors first need to study acting to perform. Secondly, I rented this one because the title DP had Will Smith. There is not Will Smith in this movie. Not even a cheap imitation.
Sweetheart, are you okay? I thought you were looking for Joe Oregano. Call an ambulance now. You just lost this account.
I was just going to ask, do you guys think that it's possible for one of these like Christian productions to make something that's good? Like,
I have to say, because I do watch, I've watched a few of these things with my parents because they're very Christian and they like these kind of films. And I have seen a couple that I haven't hated. The one I mentioned before with KJ Apa, I still believe was watchable.
But is that as far as you think you can go? Is
I didn't mind it. I genuinely didn't mind it. I would say it's like, when I watch like a Netflix Christmas movie or whatever, like I don't hate watching it. It's never going to be like the best film I've seen that year. But yeah. There was one a few years ago about like a kid that like gets trapped under the ice and ends up in a coma. That one wasn't too bad.
Oh my
there
goodness.
Was the one about where the girl's like leg gets bitten by a shark. Her leg gets bitten off by a shark. That wasn't too bad. That had Helen Hunt in it. Dennis Quaid. What? I just think this level of, like, low-budget Christian film is never going to produce anything decent.
Why do you think that is? Do you think it's...
Well, for the same reason that, like, most of these, like, low-budget gay films are all shit. It's just they just don't have the resources to be good.
But is it just resources, or is it, like...
Because I don't think that's true. I don't agree, because think about, you know, we watched... Heather Fink's movie, which she made on the Shoestring, and she did really well.
Yeah.
Like, surprisingly, what it lacks is some sort of passion.
Yeah.
Which is quite ironic, considering, like, it just feels very much like how the streaming services are just like, we just need content. Like, it's like... We're a Christian production. We just need some fucking shit for these kids to watch. Like, that's so they don't take drugs and turn to experimenting with boys.
And it's like, don't you know that if you put them in front of a boring movie, they're going to be more likely to get in trouble because they're going to be like, this is fucking shit. I'm not watching it.
But I guess, is it like the people that make these films, is their passion for Christ or is their passion for filmmaking? Because, I think Heather Fink loved filmmaking and that's why she made a good film. Whereas these people, they're just a church. Like that's not the main drive of these people. Like their main drive is to promote their church and their faith. And the filmmaking is just an avenue for that.
It just reminds me of also like Disney films. Like there's a feeling of like sanitary, like, then they don't want to make some honest, real conversations or you know, narrative. It's just about, because then it wouldn't be safe consumption for the whole family if there was some heavy themes that were touched on that. You know what I mean?
Or, but then sometimes these films do touch on heavy themes and they are fucking horrid, like a film like The War Room, which is a very successful Christian film about a woman in an abusive relationship that goes into this, what she calls the war room, this like closet, and prays every day until her husband stops being abusive and they have a nice marriage at the end and don't get divorced. Yuck. Like, so like, maybe it's best that they stay light and fluffy.
I'm so outraged by what you just said.
Yeah. But that brings us to our next segment, tenuous recommendations, where we recommend a piece of media that is linked to today's movie in some way. And a reminder, if you ever want to see a list of all the recommendations we have made on the show, head over to our Letterboxd page, which is linked on our website. So I wanted to start with a film that is connected because it also has a lot to say about Christianity and faith. And that is the 2018 film directed by Joel Edgerton, Boy Erased, which Brendan and I actually watched at the movies together when it came out. Have you seen this one, Lucy?
No, I haven't.
So this stars Lucas Hedges, Nicole Kidman, Russell Crowe, Troy Sivan, and Xavier Dolan. Yeah. And so I guess this makes it two episodes in a row that I'm recommending a Russell Crowe movie, which is quite strange. But yeah, so this is a film about conversion therapy and how fucking horrible it is and how it should be
illegal
in every country. And unfortunately, it still is not. But yeah, it just shows the effects it can have, and it's really harrowing and emotional and not an easy watch, but, yeah, like I cried, and it's just a very important film. It's a very important film. So, I don't know if you have much memories of it from when you saw it, Brendan, but
I agree with everything you said. Like, it was heartbreaking to watch, this lovely kid being.
Who plays the person going through conversion therapy?
Lucas Hedges.
Okay. So
he was in like Lady Bird, played the one that wasn't Timothy Chalamet. Yeah, he's been in a bunch of stuff. Troy Sivan plays one of the other kids that's in the conversion therapy as well. And Nicole Kidman and Russell Crowe play his parents, and they're both fantastic in it. Joel Edgerton directed it as well. So.
Australian?
No, it's American.
Oh.
Isn't that funny? Because Joel Edgerton, Russell Crowe, and
Nicole Kidman,
And isn't Troy Sivan Australian?
Yeah, but it's set in America.
That's so weird.
But yeah, I think like obviously it has happened in Australia. But I think it's a lot more prevalent in the US, or it was. So but I didn't want to come away from this episode and not remind people of how fucking damaging this, you know, this environment can be. And like, there are a lot of good Christians and there's a lot of, you know, positive things that come out of this, but there's still a lot of fucking evil bullshit that is involved with this religion.
Well, Paul, can I please go next? Because I got one of those too, baby.
Yeah. Sure. What do you got, Lucy?
Okay. So before I like launch into my tirade, this is just a random, you know, when you do a little twofer and you do a weird recommendation. Does anyone remember, this is by title only, it was an Australian TV show called The Big Wish. My sister and I have searched for people in the world who have seen this show as well. We can still sing the theme song, The Big Wish. Okay.
And it goes something like this.
If anybody out there remembers it, please write an email.
You're going to have to sing the song so people know what it is.
this is the big wig. And I think it's about a kid who, like, essentially not gets a genie, but something like that. Like, he can have three wishes. Yeah, so
and this is your recommendation?
No, I just wanted to bring that up because it made me think of it. Yeah, but then my theme is also sort of faith as an overarching thematic. Yes. So I'm doing Philomena from 2013. Have either of you seen that?
I have seen this.
Nope.
So it's Judi Dench and Steve Coogan. It's a true story about an Irish woman who had her son taken away from her as a young, unwed teenage mother. So she had her son taken away from her by the Catholic Church and then sort of spent forever trying to find out what happened to him. And Steve Coogan plays a journalist who she enlists and helps, like, research the story and writes about it. And it was true. And Steve Coogan was inspired to, he wrote the screenplay. He was inspired to do that after reading that real article. He was really moved by it. And it's a really beautiful movie. And somehow Steve Coogan manages to get laughs in, even though it's really heavy and really sad in a lot of ways. And I think it's the kind of thing you might look at it and go, oh, that looks like a movie for my mum and dad.
Yeah, I watched it with my mum and dad.
Yeah. My mum and dad saw it and told me that I really had to watch it. And I feel like it's a real departure for Steve Coogan from anything that he normally does. And I feel like it's like he looked at that story and he saw something in it that was different for him, but, like, he still felt really pulled towards it. And I feel like that's what it's like as a viewer, you know. It's very different to what he normally does, but it's an amazing movie. I think it was like Oscar noms all around kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I really love that movie as well.
Mm.
Good recommendation.
Yeah. Cool. I mean,
I can't wait to make you watch it.
Brendan, what's yours?
Well, I was going to do a film called Nothing Bad Can Happen. Which is another Christian downer film, which is about, like, a true story of, like, a Christian punk in Germany who, like, basically prays for this family's car to start working, and it does. And so the father and the family sort of take him in and sort of put him through these trials of, like, sadistic, like, abuse to break his faith, and it's really sad because he's this lovely kid who believes in Jesus and wants to save this family, and they just abuse him. Anyway, I'm not going to. Instead, what I did was I contacted four different pastors and asked them what a good Christian film was.
Is this true?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And they said that they don't exist.
Really?
They're all shit. Like, they said it much more eloquently, but were saying, like, personally, they find them very cheesy and, like, they can, appreciate what they're trying to do, but they haven't seen one which they're like, oh, this is a film worth recommending to people. And so they gave me a few films that were, you know, not made by Christian productions, but thought-provoking, films about faith or, you know, sacrifice or whatever. And so I had
The Passion of the Christ.
No. The Terrence Malick's film Days of Heaven was a recommendation. Has anyone seen that? I thought...
No.
Lucy, you're a bit of a...
I feel like I might have.
Yeah.
A long time ago, like when I used to work at the video store.
And because you've recommended some of his...
Yeah.
Or at least Badlands or whatever. Yes. So
yeah.
I was curious.
I can't remember.
The film The Apostle, which is a Robert Duvall film that he starred and directed... mm-hmm. about yep. A preacher who starts radio preaching. Looks interesting. And then there was one which was, oh, two actually recommended Bruce Almighty. So,
oh, wow. Because yeah, I remember a lot of people getting up in arms about that film, about being like sacrilegious when it came out.
Because, like, who was it? Who depicts God in that film?
Morgan Freeman.
But it was more about the fact that God would give a human being his, like, role. Power and yeah. role. Felt like, I think a lot of people had issue with that.
Sure. Well, I think...
And that he would use it to fuck Jennifer Aniston.
Well, I think they were able to see past some of those things. We were able to see the morality of it.
Weirdly enough, today it came up, an article came up with the writers of Bruce Almighty. Apparently, they had a sequel script written that was never produced. Well, that one was produced, but this one was a sequel for Jim Carrey, where he then gets the power of Satan.
Ah.
Yeah, and it never got made. So,
interestingly, Paul, you recommended a few weeks ago that movie about Noah's Ark.
Oh, yeah, that was the other Russell Crowe movie. Yeah,
yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So, I think there's been a good, like, and I think I've recommended Prince of Egypt on this show before, which is also another, like, a Moses story. So, I think there can be good religious films, but.
Well, yeah, one of them said good? I can't remember.
Saved is amazing. That's such a good, I should have done that one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, one of them said just they don't believe, like, they were basically, like, the gods in every story, you know, like. So they were like, you know,
they obviously haven't seen Pretty Cool.
Yeah.
You ever see one of those freaky body swap movies?
Yeah, they have 1,000 of them.
Any like that happened in the Bible?
The Bible.
So if you head over to our website, you'll see that each of us has ranked every body swap film we've reviewed for the podcast. So my question is, where are we all going to put The Big Fix on our lists? I'm going to put it underneath The Change Up and above Boy Meets Girl. So that's pretty low on the list. But I still enjoyed this more than stuff like The Christmas Swap and The Christmas Trade and The Christmas Switch.
Bottom 10.
Yeah.
I'm going to put it between The Sex Trip and The Cobbler.
That's some pretty dismal company.
Yeah.
I laugh more in this than I did The Cobbler.
Yeah, so true.
I'm going to put it in between the Christmas ones, The Christmas Switch and The Christmas Swap. It's the sandwiched in there to ruin everyone's Christmas. Also, I can't believe we didn't mention Velocipasta in this conversation.
On that note, there's a crowdfunding happening right now for Velocipasta 2, so make sure you put those donations.
Say that.
I was so hoping there was a tier where he'd come on your podcast, but unfortunately,
I think you can email the guy.
All right, so next episode we're gonna go from a low budget production where literally everyone worked on it for free to the biggest film of all time. So in a couple of weeks, I'll be flying to another state specifically to watch the sequel to this film on the biggest screen I can possibly find. So I thought it's the perfect time to return to Pandora and watch 2009's James Cameron epic, Avatar, starring Sam Worthington, Sigourney Weaver, and Zoe Saldana, where a paraplegic marine dispatched to the moon, Pandora, on a unique mission, becomes torn between following his orders and protecting the world he feels is his new home. So, Are we excited about coming back to Pandora?
I'm not sure.
All I remember about watching this film was I got into like a heated like argument with this random guy who was like angry.
During the film?
No, after the film, because he thought I was just saying I thought it was overrated and shit because I was like trying to be contrary. And I was like, no.
That fits, though. Like, I can see that. So what ended up, did you come to blows or?
No, I left.
Well, anyway, I'm looking forward to discussing this one. Like, it's become a thing like that, you know, even though it's the biggest film of all time, nobody ever talks about it anymore. So.
Yeah, and that they spent all the budget on... like the movie itself and didn't save any for like getting a good font for the poster and they just used papyrus.
They'll never live it down.
Yeah, they have fixed that for the sequel has a new font, so
the comic as sense.
Brilliant.
So yeah, that should be a fun one. So until then,
has anyone watched it since it came out?
I actually went to the cinemas and watched the re-release a couple of weeks ago. So
wow.
You yeah. also went to Pandora.
And
you?
I visited Pandora twice in the meantime as well.
All right. We're life. Pandora head over here.
Yeah. So I feel like I'm going to be the defender in this episode.
You're practically a Na'vi, Paul.
How long did it go for? How many like little intermissions am I going to have to?
It's 2 hours and 45 minutes. So it might have to be a three-parter, maybe.
Yeah, completely.
How long's the director's cut?
I think it's 3 hours. I haven't watched the director's cut. The new, the sequel is over 3 hours, though.
Oh, my God. Do they have an intermission?
No. And I just booked my tickets. I'm going to the 9:40 p.m. session.
That's bold.
And then I've got a 7 a.m. flight back home the next morning. It's going to be fucking rough.
Oh my God. You're crazy.
All for that Na'vi joy. I don't know. Anyway.
I did it all for the Na'vi.
Yeah. So until next time, don't be a piece of shit on the ground, DPW.
Possibly, even though maybe people aren't, and we got 100 reviews and we don't even know, and we're never going to get to do face-off.
And review us at iTunes or Spotify. And, like, especially Spotify people. Like, all the people that are listening on Spotify, like, we need those reviews because that's becoming, like, the main thing. So if you're a Spotify listener, just fucking, like, review us.
I want Joe Rogan to know who I am so I can go on his podcast.
Yeah.
I am busy forevermore. We can't be friends. Bye.
And I was Paul Mitzi.
And I was Lucy Thomas.
And I was Brendan Levi.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
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 The Swapcast podcast is recorded in Adelaide, Australia. It's hosted by Paul Mitzi and edited by Brendan Levi and Paul Mitzi. Our theme song was written and performed by John Marco of Two Creative, featuring Lucy Thomas, and recorded at Browntown Studios. Our music bumpers were created by Reggie Parker. Contact him on parkerregmusic@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.